Today on Real Life Radio.
If this is what the Bible has to say and you and I are living right now, isn't it amazing that you and I, it's almost as though we are in a top secret briefing right here Sunday morning. We're going to be talking about things that Babylon will come to know. Things that you can already, or many of you already know already. What Babylon will come to know is that her end is near.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand, Part 1. Here in chapter 18, we'll see how Babylon is the center of a demonic political, commercial, and economic system focused on a life without God. You see, from the very beginning, its foundation, Babylon became the first place where mankind wanted to rule over themselves. In the last days of the Great Tribulation, a Babylonian system will rise again, having three main offices. Its political system will have its world headquarters in Rome, its religious system will be based in Jerusalem, and its global trade system will be in the new Babylon of Iraq. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Babylon will come to know that the end is near. Darkness will fall on it, and Babylon will go from being outrageously wealthy and powerful to completely desolate faster than anyone would have thought possible. Now, it's important to note that this sermon was recorded some time ago, and you might hear some references that are kind of out of date, but don't worry. The main content of this message is more relevant today than it has ever been. Now, in his message called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Watch this. Could it be that France is upset with us? You know they are. They're always upset with us about something anyway. Germany's upset with us, though they're good friends of ours. The nations that were not in the coalition, by the way, of 22 nations, this coalition of nations that attacked Iraq were 22 nations. You didn't hear that on CNN. The nations that did not participate, President Bush is not allowing those nations to be involved in the rebuilding effort of Iraq. His concept is, and I have to agree with it, the nations that paid the price to be involved should first be the ones to get the contracts. And so Australia's getting construction contracts, okay? And Poland is getting contracts. Spain is getting contracts. The French and Germans are not getting contracts. Not yet. Why? They didn't pull their weight in the effort. What's my point? The point is there is a global cry right now, today, real-time news. Let us be involved in the rebuilding of Iraq. Have you heard that? Anybody? Raise your hand if you've heard that. We want to be involved in the building of Iraq. The nations are crying out. Take the word Iraq and put its old name in. We want to be involved in the building of Babylon. That is what's going on today. Very interesting. Read your Bible very, very carefully. I got to read this to you because it shocked me and it shouldn't have shocked me. I was shocked that I was shocked because I shouldn't have been shocked when I read it. Bible scholars for years, by the way, have believed that somehow Babylon would be rebuilt. Now, look, I've got to agree with most of you. You look at that place on the map and it looks like God blew his nose on that part of the world. I mean, is it not the pits? Now, I know the northern regions of Iraq or Babylon are beautiful, the mountainous regions, but even that's kind of a stretch. I mean, it looks bad. Isn't it interesting that we know for a fact, was once that entire region, not just Iraq, but Persia, Iran, Iraq, from the Mediterranean to the Persian Gulf region and the Sinai, was once the cradle of civilization. In that realm was where the Garden of Eden used to be. It had to be absolutely beautiful. But look at the judgment of God upon it over these years. But as you know, judgment comes in stages and in times, to some degrees greater than another. God says there's going to come a time when I'm done with it and nobody will ever be there again. Church, you don't have to be an Einstein to figure out that that has not yet happened. There are people living in that region, even as ugly as it is. But can you imagine for a moment that these old Bible scholars used to say that Babylon of Iraq will be built up someday and become the pivotal commercial zone of the world? Now, as an American, we find that highly offensive. By the way, the Chinese find that highly offensive because they're really big on Hong Kong. Okay, and there are those in the middle in Western Europe. They find that highly offensive because Geneva, or Hamburg, or London, something like that. What, are you crazy? Do you think that Babylon is going to become commercially more important than even New York? According to the Bible, yes. Now listen to this. This is what shocked me. 25 years ago, this paragraph was written, and I read it to you. It's 25 years old. Remember what was going on 25 years ago? Now listen to this. This is by Dr. Henry Morris. That which is today modern Iraq will by some method or mode be brought to a place of dramatic change. The world community headed up by the West and the powers of the Antichrist will make this now barren place an international headquarters for global commerce. Close quote. That was written 25 years ago. My government is currently trying to establish the area of Babylon, the nation of Iraq, on a path of democracy, and money's being poured into it to allow it to become a viable power in the world economy. Listen to this. So much so that the Bloomberg report has recently stated that there are now talks regarding Iraq about converting it either to the U.S. dollar for currency or the European euro to introduce it into the global world. What do you think of that? If you doubt everything we're saying, will you at least agree on this? That the nations of the world are trying to bring Iraq out of its ancient ism and to join the current world, even to the point of economy and the point of what kind of currency it uses? Do you find that interesting? I find that very interesting that Morris would write that 25 years ago. I want to ask you a few questions before we get into our study. Oh, no, we're quite a bit. Okay, anyway, I just want you to answer this question here in your head. Is Babylon or Iraq in the Bible? Is it in the Bible, anybody? Yes, it is. Is Babylon or Iraq a topic in the days in which you and I are living? Yep. Is Babylon or Iraq in the news today? Yes. At Starbucks, I checked the front page of the New York Times. It's there. Is Babylon or Iraq, according to the Bible, to be rebuilt? Yes. Is there a rebuilding process going on right now? Did you know there are streets being paved? There are sidewalks being put in? Did you know that hospitals are coming back online? Did you know that some schools are being installed with electrical power and that there are water plants that are being installed? And for the first time, I wish I had a list. A soldier emailed me a list from Iraq of the things that have been improved since freedom has come to Iraq, and it's absolutely breathtaking what's happened, not to mention the fact that women get to go back to school. They're very excited about that. I don't know, I've always tried to get out of school, but the women there in Iraq want to go to school, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So listen to this. I'm going to say this kind of sarcastically. I intend to do so, though, just to get your attention. So when will Babylon be rebuilt? I know the answer to that. When will Babylon be rebuilt? I know the answer. It's got to be rebuilt prior to it being destroyed. It has to be rebuilt before the second coming comes. It has to be rebuilt before Christ Jesus returns in the second coming. It has to be rebuilt before it can be destroyed. Revelation chapter 18 is all about a commercial system that is going to be brand new on the world scene that is going to be destroyed. And so with that, I want you to keep that in mind. Let's jump ahead for time's sake to the very text itself. Revelation chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. After these things, circle those three words, after the things of Revelation 17. I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and that is Babylon he's speaking of, has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hateful or hated bird. Verse 3, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, listen to this, mark it well, please. We love his voice. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, lest you receive her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Verse 6, render to her just as she has rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she's glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure, give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen. Does that ring a bell, you guys? Chapter 17. I sit as queen is her announcement. She says, I sit as queen. I am no widow. That means the word, by the way, in Greek is, I have many lovers. I will not see sorrow. Verse 8, therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Here we go. Point number one in our study, verses 1-3. Point number one, what Babylon will come to know. If this is what the Bible has to say, and you and I are living right now, isn't it amazing that you and I, it's almost as though we are in a top secret briefing right here Sunday morning. We're going to be talking about things that Babylon will come to know. Things that you can already, or many of you already know already. What Babylon will come to know is that her end is near. That's point number one. In verses 1-3, we learn three very important things. What Babylon will come to know is that the end is near. Why? Because Babylon lives in darkness. After these things, I saw an angel. By the way, that's another angel, not being one of the seven. This is not one of the seven angels that pour out the vials, my friend, that we've been studying about. This is another angel. We know it's an angel. It is not the Lord. It is a very special angel. It could be Gabriel, could be Michael, or it could be an angel that has been prepared just for this event. We don't know. But it says here that this angel, after these things, another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And by the way, that's how we know it's not the Lord also, is that the authority has been given to him. The Lord Jesus owns authority. This angel receives authority. And the earth was illuminated with his glory. You want to mark something down? This is very cool because the judgments of the latter half of the great tribulation period, one of them is a great darkness that comes over the face of the earth. Remember we studied that? Like a darkness that covered Egypt. Remember that? Well, imagine the earth being in this supernatural darkness. People are panicking, and descending from heaven is an angelic being whose glory is so brilliant it illuminates in a very strange luminescence the world. People are going to know something very, very bizarre is going on. And as it resides in darkness, the Babylonian system resides in darkness. Babylon will be living in darkness at this moment, and this angel will descend. By the way, I've got to tell you, I've been still doing a lot of research and looking around about Revelation 17. And as I said earlier, many of you have been getting a hold of me and giving me information. I want to encourage you who are doing more research to be very careful. As I have had to watch out for too. For when you study ancient Babylonianism and its roots, when you start studying the roots of Tammuz and Zeus and Semiramis and Nimrod, it will eventually, if you're using a computer or an encyclopedia program type of system, it will eventually take you into the websites of witchcraft, demonism, druids, things like that. Do you understand that? Be very, very careful. I have been reading things that most of you are you're not looking at, and you're saying, well, where'd you get that information from? Because sometimes you have to know what your enemy thinks. And it takes you into websites that are very dangerous, in my opinion, if you're not rooted. Things that deal with all kinds of witchcraft, be it black or white witchcraft. And when you read about their worship of Tammuz and trace their history, you wind up landing right there in Nineveh, right there in Shushan, right there in Shinar, right there in Babylon. So be very careful. This system has always been in darkness. It is a demonic darkness, and it holds people in darkness today. We're talking about a physical darkness here in verse 1 that an angel comes down and interrupts. The Babylonian system. It's going to be a system where man can try to establish a utopia on earth, but without God. Isn't it interesting, by the way? I mentioned to you earlier about the European Union's constitution. I'm trying to read it. If you can't fall asleep at night, go online and read the European Union's constitution. It is a joke. It's insane. By the way, have you ever read our constitution? The more you read our constitution, the more you see the hand of God on it and why our founding fathers sought God in the preparation of it. 12 pages. 13 if you're going to take the first page, which got all the signers' names. But really 12 pages of the U.S. Constitution. You know how many pages the European Union Constitution has? 551 pages. And let me tell you something. Ours begins with, what is it? How's it begin with? We the people. Gee whiz. We the people. It's all about a government that is run by the people. When you start reading the European Union Constitution, it's unbelievable. It's asking for all of the European Union participants to pledge allegiance to the government, that the government presides over you. It is the government that will take care of you. It is the government that demands absolute acquiescence to it. It is the government that will be, and when you read it, you can scratch out the European Union and put God in there, and you think you're reading like a demonic Bible. This God, G-O-D, this system will take care of you. This system will answer all of your needs. This system will watch out for you. This system will provide for you. This system, that. It's absolutely amazing. And it took 551 pages for Satan to get his agenda across. And by the grace of God, by the way, God is mentioned in ours. There is not one mention of God in the European Union Constitution. Not one. And I believe, look, you may think I'm stretching this. I don't think so. Let time judge, okay? Don't judge me about this too soon. Let time judge it. I believe that this whole system of the European Union Constitution sets a perfect platform for man to be his own God. How do we know? Because it is the Antichrist who in time will declare himself to be God. And they're all going to say, right on. I don't know if they're going to say right on, but they're going to say something like that. This is an absolute humanistic doctrine. The world is currently, my friend, en route to Babylon that way. Second thing I want to say under this point is that what Babylon will come to know that the end is near is that because Babylon lives in sinful practices, verse 2, and he cried mightily with a loud voice saying, Babylon, the great is fallen and has become the dwelling place of demons and the prison of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hated bird. First of all, will you note this? The messenger is bringing a most important message, and his rank is tremendous. That tells us a lot. If you look at Revelation 14, you can peruse that later. Look at Revelation 14, verse 8. Just write it down in your margins. The Bible there announces this event earlier on because you know the book of Revelation will often reissue or restate itself. When it says there in Revelation 14, 8, and another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city. Now, when we read right here in Revelation 18, the angel announcing Babylon is fallen, does the angel stutter? Does he have a speech impediment? What's he saying it twice for? I think you already know the answer. Do you remember Revelation 17, the woman who rides the beast? Do you remember her? She's the religious system. Remember, she's on the back of the beast. Then Revelation 17 goes on near the end of that chapter and says that in the end, the beast will turn, remember, strip her naked and consume her and burn her with fire. Remember, he's going to use her as long as he needs to. You can mark this down. That's the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. The tribulation is church how many years long? 7 years. It's divided into two compartments, 3.5 Three and a half. The first three and a half is this beast with this false religious system known or referred to as the woman who rides the beast. At the midpoint, he will turn and consume her. Why? Because when he's done consuming her, he turns and at the midpoint declares himself to be God from what city in Israel? Jerusalem. That commences the last three and a half years of the Great Tribulation period. That is important. When the announcement is made, Babylon is fallen, it's because, number one, the Babylonian system of worship, chapter 17, that's fallen. And now, chapter 18, the commercial aspect of Babylon, it's fallen. Babylon. And this is where scholars get the collective understanding that Babylon is not only a geographical region, it is not only a belief system, but it is also these entities of this worship and of this economy. So when he says Babylon, that great city, is fallen, he's not panicking about getting his point across. He's saying chapter 17 is fallen. Chapter 18 is fallen. Babylon's over, is the announcement. And that's why this angel, I believe, has been given a very special presence. Isaiah 21 verse 9 says, "And look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen." Then he answered and said, "Babylon is fallen, and all the carved images of her gods have been broken to the ground." Did you hear that? That's Isaiah 21, 9, and it's written nearly 3,000 years ago. 1,000 years before the New Testament. Babylon is fallen. I want to remind you about something regarding the system that has made it together. These two Babylons in concert are like a single coin with two faces. Remember that? You've seen this now for, I think, 3 weeks. Keep this in mind. Allow me to point this out to you this way. You're looking at the euro. This is a Greek euro from its member, Greece. To the left, you see the woman riding the beast. To the right, you see the European Union. Now watch this. Allow everybody, take a deep breath, please. You got to get this. Let it out. Okay, you're ready for this. It shouldn't be strange for us in our own economy and in this economy that symbolism is important. Does anybody know how many stars, for example, we have in our flag in the United States? 50. Does anybody know how many stripes we have in our flag? Huh? What's the 13 for? The original colonies. Very good. Symbolism is important. It covers the past. And it's happening now.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand, Part 1. Thanks for being here today. You know, En Route to Babylon, Mankind's Final Stand, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, we don't always understand what God's doing, but the Bible tells us in Revelation that one day we will. The question is, do we know God personally? Many believe there's a God and that He's powerful, but having faith in God is to know and understand that He cares about you immensely. God's power could force obedience, but instead, He gives us the freedom to choose to come to Him through our own free will. So, if you're wondering what that means to have a personal relationship with God, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll learn about things like how our sin is separating us from God and how God has made a way through His Son Jesus Christ to get right with Him. Again, it's that tab labeled Know God, and it's there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.